主の彼方に光る星、青い地球。
Hello, friends, and welcome to Out of This World with your host, Ted Maher, broadcasting live today from Lafayette, California, in the San Francisco Bay Area. And I have my special guest on today, Simon Parks, coming to us live from England. And I guarantee it'll be a show that's really out of this world. As you know, there are a lot of fires now on the west coast of the United States and Canada, in California, Oregon, and Washington, as well as parts of British Columbia. So my second hour, I'll be bringing on a Native American elder from the Puyallup Indian tribe near Seattle. He'll be doing prayers for water, for rain. They're very experienced in bringing in rain. So he's going to call upon his angels and higher-ups in his spiritual world to bring rain to this area. It's really bad. The air quality here is terrible. But I know that if we all work together, we can stop the fires with a rainstorm. I did this in Australia earlier this year on January 3rd, 2020. And it wasn't only me, but there were many people involved, including Michiko Hayashi from the Moto Peace Project and many other thousands of light workers. We all prayed for rain for Australia. And within a week, they had record rains at a time in the country when it was out of season to have any rains at all, and the fires were stopped. So I'm hoping to do that today as well. I want to thank everyone so much for supporting and listening to Out of This World Radio. The purpose of my show is to make this world a better place. And I know that if we all work together, we can make a much better and happier place. I want to thank Don and Doug at BBS for all their fantastic and wonderful support, without whose help I couldn't have this show today. Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit, listener-supported radio program. And if you'd like to donate, it's just $5 a month or $50 for the year. Please go to my website at outofthisworldradio.net and feel free to make a contribution if you like. I'm also broadcasting nowadays on WWNN in Miami, Florida, on Fridays from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, as well as in Vienna, Austria, every other Monday, starting at 9 p.m. Central European time in Vienna. It's a great show. We're getting a lot of listeners there. It covers all of Austria, Eastern Switzerland, and Southern Germany. If you'd like to listen to the broadcast, please go to my website at outofthisworldradio.net, and you can obtain the broadcasting information. I've been a psychic on touch with the other side now for over 25 years, and if you'd like a reading, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I also have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to talk to angels and benevolent extraterrestrials on the other side. And if you're interested, just please send me an email. I have still copies of my book for sale, which are Messages from the Masters, has messages on our beautiful, bright future. It includes a free reading. And if you'd like a book, just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. And with that, I'd like to bring on my good friend Simon from England. And Simon, thanks so much for coming on the show today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Ted. I'm always glad to come on the show. And I was very sorry to hear about the fires. We've been following them, but didn't realize they were that close to you. So it must be fairly close.
Well, actually, the closest fire is probably about maybe 80 to 100 miles away.
But the smoke is traveling in.
The smoke is coming in. And what's interesting, Simon, you know, my friend Professor Einstein has said there's no such thing as coincidences. And all of these fires, we're talking 1,000-plus fires, happened within a few days of each other. And they were also starting, several things happened. Many of them were starting along the major freeways up and down the West Coast. And there were also videotapes of Antifa members actually starting the fires in Oregon and in Washington here. I've got some of those videos, which I'll be playing during the second hour. But it seems to be they're not natural. The media is saying that they're the result of climate change, but all my guides tell me, Simon, that they're caused by humans. I don't know whether it's to disrupt their election. There's a Q-drop post that said that since California, Washington, and Oregon, Simon, are all sanctuary states, they've been cut off from federal funding from President Trump. And one way to get that funding is to create all these fires. I know it sounds terrible, but that's what he said. Q said that they've created these fires in order so they can apply for emergency funds for to fight the fires. However you look at it, it's not a good situation. So I know the power of prayer does work. and we are powerful spiritual beings, and we can have rain come in if we ask for it. So anyway, I'm okay, but a lot of my friends aren't, and people are very frightened. Fire is a hard thing to battle. A lot of places, especially in Northern California, have been hit hard by chemtrails over the years. So the chemtrails have been, the planes have been spraying aluminum nanoparticles into the trees, Simon, so that when you have a fire like this, it's like a match, it's like a firecracker. The aluminum helps the fire burn hotter and faster and longer. So you have that factor as well. So I don't think if there are some negative elements behind it, I don't think whatever they're trying to do will succeed. But it's causing a lot of havoc right now with all these fires happening on the West Coast.
Well, we expect it, if that's the right word, for California, but there are some states now that we don't normally associate such bad fires. So right. It may be that, as you've said, certain areas are now being targeted by their own side. It just shows that they have no compassion for human life at all.
Right, right.
Just let my cat in. Come along in. There we are. That's it. It's just come through.
So that's important, yeah.
We also remember Australia. There were some terrible fires last year and so on in Australia.
Right.
And other places. And I think it's all part of this same agenda, Ted.
I think you're right, Simon. I remember you saying on the program that this fall would be difficult with challenges being faced. And I hesitated to speculate at that time, Simon, what those challenges might be. And I seeing what one of these are today. And of course, today's September 12th in the United States here. And where you are too, in Europe and
the UK.
Yeah, and it's the one day after 9/11, symbolically. And Q had told me that the negatives had planned to release a second, more deadly virus on September 12th if this first one didn't work. Now, they still may do that. I hope not. But the Galactics have told me that they will step in and eviscerate this second virus if they did it. In the meantime, we've had these fires now coming up out of nowhere, all of them happening within a couple days in areas where they've never had fires before. And it's not global warming. It's human-made. It's by design. And it's not a very pleasant experience, frankly. But we'll make it through. We'll make it through somehow, sure. Yeah.
I think the thing is, Ted, that in America, the poll reports the supposedly independent way of finding out how people are going to vote. Has been showing consistently that Joe Biden is considerably well ahead. But I've been given some information a couple of days ago, which said that that is definitely being altered and fixed, fiddled, or whatever word you want to use, and that senior Democrats are predicting a Trump landslide.
Well,
and their only way of dealing with it is to claim that that's a fix and to go for an all-out fight, a physical fight. So we could see the fires as the beginning of some attempt to destabilize, to cause a problem. But if that's right, and senior Democrats have already written off the election on November the 3rd, then that would partially explain why, if they're not bothered in the sense of democracy, that's why they're going for violence, because that's the only card they've got left.
Right. There was an incident in Seattle a few days ago where Antifa came out and tried to stop freeway traffic. And what an interesting thing is, not the Seattle City Police, which is under the control of the mayor of Seattle, who likes Antifa, but the State Patrol came in and arrested every single demonstrator. There must have been about 60 of them. So that was a good sign. There have been reports in Oregon, and I've got the videos of them, of Antifa members being arrested for intentionally setting fires along the freeways. And Oregon's a mess right now. My God. And it's planned out. Every 100 miles, there's a new fire. And they all happen within 2 days of each other. Now, for those people who claim, like Governor Newsom, that it's global warming, it doesn't make sense. I mean, logically speaking, we have fires in places out here, Simon, where they've never had fires before. We have them along the ocean of Washington's coast where they've never had a fire. Suddenly it happens. Logically, why would you have a fire in a place where it's actually wet and they've had rain, and suddenly it's out of the blue. It happens. It doesn't make sense. So no. Anybody looking at the media can easily tell that they're not telling the full truth. So
I think one of the most important statements for us all to hook onto, and it's just gone over people's heads because there's so much else happening. A week and a half ago now, 2 weeks ago, Joe Biden said, this is the pattern you see, that he said that Trump would declare that he'd won. This is because secretively they think there's going to be a Trump landslide. But Joe Biden publicly came out and said that Trump was going to declare that he'd won, but he wouldn't have won really. Democrats will win, and that he, Joe Biden, was going to ask the army to go into the White House and bring Trump out. Huh. And the next day, the chief of the general staff, the highest ranking general in the military in the United States, actually made a statement saying that there was no way they were going to go into the White House and remove the president. He said that is the job of the House of Representatives and the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. So the military are already stating very clearly that they are not going to be used to basically bring Trump out of the White House. So that's it's gone over people's heads. That's a really important point. And it will, if there's a challenge, it's going to be done through the Supreme Court.
Well, I've just got a message from my producer. We're having problems with Facebook today, but that's okay. It'll be still recorded and available on YouTube later for work. So I just got a message from him then. I know, Simon, it's a challenging time. I had an astrologist on my show about a year ago, and she said that the period from 2015 to 2030 would be the most challenging time in the next 1,000 years. Mm-hmm. And of all those years, 15 years, Simon, this year, 2020, would be the hardest. And the period from July through December would be the hardest yet, with the hardest months still yet to come in November, December. Yes. So I can't wait to see what happens next.
Yes, I mean, you know, I've been told that my journey out to America will be put back if America slides into heavy violence. Because there's no way that they want to bring me out there if people are killing themselves. Although I will have to say that Arizona is probably one of the more quiet places.
Yeah, right.
But the people are already making plans not to journey over the election period or just after. People are cutting any vacations. Yeah. Excuse me, Ted. People are just planning to stay indoors. And right. I think that's very good advice.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I know we're going to get through it, though, Simon. You know, it seems like we've had a series of challenges both last century and into this century now, but I know we're going to make it through. I'm not a doom and gloomer. I know we'll make it through, but anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you and I have both shared the same trumpet call, which was we are going to do it, but by goodness me, it's going to be difficult. And right. This is the difficult part now. Yes, yeah. I agree.
And many people have told me too, other psychics have told me that it's really the accumulation of maybe tens of thousands of years of negative control over the planet. Yeah. So it's more than just the U.S. election. It's more than the United States. It's more than England or Canada or Australia, New Zealand, Japan, China. It's accumulation of good versus evil, white versus black, God versus Lucifer, depending upon what your religious viewpoint is. It's accumulation of many different things, and we're experiencing it now.
So, yeah, so of course, when you said white versus black, what you actually meant was the light versus...
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, that's what I meant, yeah.
I know, but some people might misunderstand you. I know exactly what you mean. It's the light versus the evil dark. I think the important point for us is that in order to throw off this chains around us, it's like a volcano. It bursts out in certain places, and at the moment it's America where it's right. bursting out. So there'll be other sleepy countries that nothing seems to happen, but it's still happening, but at a lower level. And you're right across the planet, and it's expressing itself in different ways. And those of your audience who have been very kind and listened to me for goodness knows now it's 10 years, I'm celebrating 10 years this year, I always said that Great Britain was the land of the magic, and I meant it as a magical isle, but America was where the fight had to happen. Now, I'm on record of saying that 7-8 years ago, that America was a place where the fight had to take place. Yeah. And that's exactly what we're seeing. So this overthrowing of evil is expressing itself in this way in the United States.
Right.
But maybe in France or Germany or Italy, it's going to express itself in a different way.
Yeah, I agree. One thing I don't want to get off too off track on this, Simon, but I do want to ask people to please send whatever you can to Simon for his legal battle right now against the BBC. So do you have an email address or a PayPal account, or can they go to your website? And
if they're very kind and they just go to simonparks.org, there's a donate button there.
Okay.
For people who don't know, the BBC, I've got to be careful because we have appointed a lawyer. But
sure.
I can say something, that the BBC did two shows, not about me, but they mentioned me. Mm-hmm. And they said things that were absolutely not correct. And nobody bothered to actually ask me a quote or even tell me they did it. Now, I've taken advice on that, and you know, we think we've got a very good chance. And so, you know, that's the stage we're at. Also, separately to that, but I think connected, my organization, and I'm getting quite a lot of attacks from a very small group from Russia and from other countries, all linked in to this same cabalistic. And I'm also the lawyer is you know, earning his money. So when things become more clear, then I'd be very happy to share what the outcome is. Because I did want to say this, Ted, that I don't believe in trial by social media. People are so used to saying whatever they want on social media. Many people have lost connection with reality, and right. they're so used to saying it, but they don't realize that actually it's the same as saying it on the sidewalk. And, you know, 11 times out of 12, 99 times out of 100, I'll just shrug my shoulders and say, I don't care. I'm thick skinned.
Yeah. Right.
Sometimes right. people might make something which is just too much. And this is where we are. The BBC, a national broadcaster, should know better. So that's where we are. And if I'm successful, I think I probably will be the first person in the spiritual community to take on one of these enormous organizations that are there to spread certain types of stories and right. beat them. And it would be like me in the United States taking on CNN. So that is the equivalent of
right.
it.
Right. When I was growing up here in the States, Simon, BBC had a great reputation. And right. I enjoyed listening to the radio and BBC television too, because I considered it, you know, excellent journalism. And I'm sad to hear this is happening now. It's too bad.
It's the same people who are starting fires. Their point of view seems to have taken hold mm-hmm. in a number of corporations or organizations across the planet.
Yeah.
And I, for one, still don't really understand how they've managed to do that. But when you look at the agendas in terms of their values, you know, there seems to be a pattern there, Ted.
I haven't done this yet. I'll do it today. There is that email I received 2 months ago slandering you from the UK. Out of the blue, I didn't know this gentleman. It's something like, I thought he'd like to know, talking about you and disparaging you. And I thought, who is this man? So I wrote him back and I said, why are you sending me this? I know Simon, you don't need to send this stuff. And he said he was just doing it on behalf of a friend. So anyway, I'll send it to you. You can give it to your barrister.
Yeah, do so. I mean, you know, what we've got is a situation, and I just did a quick update today on my podcast saying that, you know, across the planet at the moment, people who are striving or looking for the truth or trying to get the truth out there are being heavily attacked. And it's very interesting, Ted, that the same people who are disparaging me and
right.
my connecting consciousness have turned on David Icke. They're now saying that David Icke drinks adrenochrome, that David Icke is a...
What?
Yeah. And
that's David ridiculous.
Icke, well, I know. And David Icke lives on the Isle of Wight, which he does, and saying that base for the reptilian camp. So what is very clear is that this isn't just an attack on me.
Yeah.
This is an attack on anybody
yeah.
who is
yeah.
prepared to put their head up and speak. So I look on it as part of what we've got to go through.
Sure.
And people have said to me, well, why don't you just ignore it? Because sometimes the fact that you ignore something lets it live. It makes people think, oh, well, there must be some truth in it.
Right.
Because so I'm not, this is, you know, it's not truthful. So I'm going to challenge it. And these people can take it as far as they want.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we won't have trial by social media. We'll have trial by law. That's where we are with it, Ted.
Well, you know, I've had my own issues, censorship, of course, when I was in Seattle. And then recently I've had other issues I don't want to discuss on publicly now. But it's okay. Things are fine. And I know we'll get all through this. So I've got some pretty interesting questions that came in. And also, too, I want to go over your blog a little bit.
Sure.
The first thing, this first announcement by Amazon, Keith Alexander joining the Amazon Board of Directors. I had heard that, if I'm correct, Simon, that what is it that the NSA has a big stake in Amazon, or they do contract services for them? What's that relationship like? I don't know.
Well, what's interesting is that most people in the spiritual community were fairly aware that, you know, some of the social media were set up by the three-letter agencies. But I don't think most people appreciated that nearly all of the social media platforms had a very large controlling stake from these people. And you'd have to ask yourself, whilst we appreciate that companies and individuals want to diversify, what is it that Facebook, Twitter, you know, YouTube, what is it that they have? And what they have is information about people. So that is their product. Their product is information about people. And that's a product that's a big market for. So it was still surprising to many of us when Amazon offered a directorship to the ex-head of the National Security Agency. So the ex-head of the National Security Agency is now a director on Amazon. And you're thinking, well, you know, that's so blatant. It's so in your face that these people are showing us they don't care. They absolutely don't care. They're saying, what can you do about it? Mm-hmm. And that's a great wake-up call to people who struggle to make a pound or a dollar or a euro, wherever you are. And suddenly, this is what, in Great Britain, we have a little saying for this. I don't know if you have it. We call it the revolving door. You know, when you go in.
Yeah, we do here too. Same thing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fine. Well, that's what we're looking at. This is what's happening.
Right. Wow. Amazing. Amazing. So my guess, I guess, is that he will use his expertise, because Amazon's a huge company and they have information about all kinds of things, because just because of their volume of business.
Well, they know what you're buying. They know what you're buying.
You know what you're buying.
Whether you're buying it for yourself, they know if it's a present.
Right.
It's not just about making money. It's about locking a house address and a person's personal choice. And that information is valuable, Ted, because if you're buying dental products,
right,
for maybe $20, $30, they'll sell that to a hygienist who then can, out of the blue, send you stuff. Now, that's capitalism. That's what we expect.
Right.
That is how it works. And most of us don't have a problem with that. But where we might have a problem is personal information, which we consider to be private.
Right. Right. This is what Edward Snowden has talked about, the civil liberties aspect of the NSA surveillance. What's fascinating to me is, why hasn't more lawsuits been brought against these three-letter agencies to curtail their activities? I don't understand it, frankly. I mean, I used to be a lawyer, but I don't know why nobody's really stepped up to the plate and done that next step.
Because, you know, Ted, again, in your country, it's a bit different, but we call it the 10-to-1 rule. Do you have that saying in your country?
No, I haven't heard of it. No, huh?
Okay, well, we have that in our country. It's called the 10-to-1 rule, which means that if an organization or a person has 10 times the amount of money than their opponent, they will take them to court because they can outspend them in court. So if you have only 5 times more money or 6 times more money, you might not do that. So who has got 10 times the amount of money the National Security Agency or the CIA? You haven't. That is why there aren't lawsuits, because people can't win. Not because they're not justified, but because after five or six, hold-ups in the court, the bill's hundreds of thousands of dollars.
That's why. Sure. So even if you win, you're forced into bankruptcy.
Well, two things here, interestingly enough. If you were to take one of those organizations and win, you might well get damages or costs back. But the problem is, of course, that everyone else is not going to do business with you after that, because you took on the big player. So that's why people don't do it. It's like the bully in the playground. What is the point of taking that person on if the tutors or the principal are just going to turn their back on you?
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Simon, what's happening on the other side of the pond over there? We don't get much news about the UK.
No, you're all about the elections now.
I see.
Although we do hear that Kamala Harris is choosing some nicely brightly colored shoes. They're doing all these stories about the Democrats here in Britain and, you know, trying to bring that side of it to us. No policy, not talking about Democrat policy, talking about these sorts of things. But your question, we have been reduced to meeting in six people. So you're now not allowed to meet together either inside or outside if there's more than six of you. So they've tightened it up because they're saying that there's a second wave about to hit Britain of the virus. And if it does, then we'll expect more severe restrictions. They are talking now in Great Britain, and, you know, hopefully some of your audience are members of Connecting Consciousness, and they will have heard my warnings months ago. And they are now officially now talking about curfews in Britain. Now, I trailed this 3, 4, 5, 6 months ago. So we are looking potentially at curfews in Britain.
It gets to the point, do they keep blaming, citing the virus as a reason, or is it just...
Always the virus. That's all it is.
Okay. It seems in the United States, even in spite of the government here saying, some sectors of the government here saying that the cases are spiking, I don't believe it. Most people don't. We had one alleged case in Thurston County, Olympia, Washington, and where I live. And it was turned out to be the guy just had a heart attack, and the hospital listed it as a COVID death so that they could get $39,000 from the federal government. But there's been no one sick from it here, but yet they keep pushing it. It's like, the only place where the virus is actually alive is in the minds of the media. Because if you turn on the media here, you know, like ABC, CBS, PBS, all the three, you know, the alphabet soup media outlets here, they all talk about the COVID. That's the first thing I talk about. But who cares? I don't know if anybody's sick. And no one's, you know, I'm not saying that people haven't died from it, but the ratios are very, very small. It's not the threat that they make it out to be.
Now, to be clear, I actually do believe there's a virus. I have no problem. There is a virus. But... Right. It's being overplayed. Now, I'll give you an example. Connecting Consciousness is a large organization now. We operate in 130 countries. Mm-hmm. Okay? And I personally have only had two reports of COVID from my network. So you think we operate in 130 countries with thousands of people in the United States and Great Britain and in Europe and other countries. And only two people. One was a coordinator, one of my coordinators, and one was a friend of a client I've known for a long time, really nice man, and his best friend, and he was in New York. But that's only two from thousands. Now, I'm clear there is a virus, but just how bad is it really?
Right.
That's the question.
Right, right. In our history in the United States, Simon, it's a sad part of the U.S. history, the slavery time. But I've been reading up on it, and the slave owners in the South would put masks over the masks of slaves to keep them from speaking out. And many people have compared this so-called these mask requirements as a way to muzzle us politically and socially. never mind the fact that masks don't work. And they may provide some psychological comfort for people wearing the mask, but the virus itself is 0.12 microns, very, very small. Yeah. And the best mask, the N95 mask, only keeps out particles down to 2.0 microns. So you're using like chicken wire to keep out a fly. It doesn't work. But
sorry, Ted, what you're saying is absolutely true. There's another political reason here. In Britain, before the masks were used, people were having to queue up on the sidewalk before they were allowed into shops. So let's say your shop could hold 30 people. So there'd be a guy outside with a clicker counting 30 in, then 30 in, one comes out, the next one in. And what the businesses were doing, the big corporations, the big companies, the big stores, they were saying, this is killing our business. So the moment they put masks on people, they could open the doors and let everyone in. So from a financial point of view, the government in Britain was under huge pressure to go down the mask road because it meant that people would spend money in the shops. But I believe the people who were right behind all this, they were doing it and they wanted that because, as exactly as you said, the psychological effect it has on people. But they got it through government by pointing out the economic benefit.
I see. Interesting. I heard the masks themselves, many of them were made in China, and sometimes the masks were contaminated.
I mean, I don't know in your country now, but I literally on the sidewalk, I overhear people who've bought things online saying that they noticed that something had been delivered and they didn't realize it had come from China. And one person said she got a broom and just pushed it back out into the street. The sales from China in our country must have gone right down, and I bet across the world. Yeah. So China, I think, is in a situation where economically it won't come back for 5 years.
Yeah. Well, there has been talk of the Three Gorges Dam close to Wuhan is going to break sometime.
Yes.
Have you had any information on that, Simon? And when it does, it could topple the government.
We've seen the pictures. We don't know whether this has been weakened deliberately or whether it's just some design fault or earth movement. But if we look at all the floods that have occurred, we look at the way that the Chinese Communist Party is trying to decentralize itself to the different provinces. And if we do believe that the leader is actually a pretty good guy and surrounded by some pretty bad people, then we can see it's ready to play out for some form of peaceful revolution. The last time I remember any sort of revolution was the Mao's Red Book.
Sure.
In the late 60s. Well, it might be that we're about to see another form of revolution taking place.
Interesting. My guides, I was at Mount Shasta last year and I was meditating, and Adama, I asked about China, and Adama said that it would transform itself into a democracy within 2 years at that time. So that means within this year, it's scheduled to, and into next year, it's scheduled to transform itself into democracy. And I hope it will, for the sake of the world and the Chinese people too. They deserve a government that values freedom, that respects their rights, human rights, and treats them with kindness and respect rather than brutality. So,
yes. I mean, the thing is that here in the West, we're not used to this type of war. A war for the West is tanks and bombs and bullets. But a war for China was controlling other countries by buying out their companies, by their infrastructure, their raw materials, their resources. And so China has been on a war of economic dominance. And at some point, that was bound to tip off everyone. And the Australians are the first to, one hand, they want the money, the foreign exchange, but on the other hand, they don't want to lose their country. So I think that what's happened is that China's gone as far as it can go now. And with Hong Kong and the situation like that, you'll see a retraction. And that will be an economic retraction and a political retraction. And I don't see a revolution coming from the ground up in China. I see it at the top level.
Okay.
So I see a revolution at the top, working its way down, very different from what we would expect.
There was an interesting speech given by Attorney General Barr here in the United States a couple of weeks ago. And sometimes you've got to read between the lines to find out what they really mean. But he kept referring to the Chinese as having a draconian government several times. And I believe it does have a draconian government, and since it's controlled by the negatives. But I agree with you. I think it is. It will change. It has to change.
China is trying to balance two off-world advisors, shall we say.
Okay.
So there's the draconian reptilian group that's always been there, hence the love of dragons. For heaven's sake, you can't buy a teapot that's made in China is going to have a dragon on it. So yeah. There's a reason for that. There's a real reason why dragons are so strong in the culture of the Chinese. But, you know, as we've seen in other countries, the leaders are desperately trying to dance to the side of the floor and find somebody else to cozy on up to. And the Chinese are trying to do that. We know that when President Trump came in, he didn't want anything more to do with Antarctica and the elements going on there. He didn't want to open up any communications with them. He wanted to open up communications with Palladians and others. And so, you know, we're seeing this big change across the earth, and it has to come to a head. This isn't just going to disappear and go away and bubble up again in 20 years. This is it. This is it now. And this is why we are all faced with a choice.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. I wanted to mention briefly, I don't want to go too far details, but about your post about Western Australia and rescuing children there, which I thought was a great article. Worldwide, is that happening now during this shutdown that many children are being rescued around the world from sex trafficking and pedophilia?
Only where the neighboring country has a strong connection to the United States military.
I see.
So if a country has a strong connection to the politics of a country, then it's not going to happen. But if a country has many years of exchange deals with the military, where the mindset is very similar, then it's very easy for the good guys in the US to mount operations in those countries, simply because it's like a little America. Those countries we can count as Australia and Great Britain. We've had some issues in European countries, but that's basically been where the US has threatened the government that if it didn't let them go in and do this operation, it would cause a problem. But in most cases, the countries are very willing because of this connection, not to politics or to the industrial complex, but a connection to the military. Remember, since 9/11, the United States military has consistently worked to remove the satanic forces out of itself.
Wow.
That's why Australia is genuine. There is good work going on. And they're using this lockdown for the virus as a jolly good cover to get things underway quickly.
About a month ago, I was contacted by 7 US presidents at 3 o'clock in the morning.
You told me that, and I said to you, you didn't get much sleep that night, did you?
No, I didn't. And they I had a show a couple of weeks ago about that, saving the children and saving the U.S., saving the Republic in the U.S.
Yes.
And the spirit of George Washington came floating across the screen. People saw it, captured it, sent me pictures of it. And he's here right now. And he's so proud of your work, Simon, for helping wake up the world on really what's going on. But he said it's a tremendous problem. They're utterly disgusted with the pedophilia and the sex trade. And they're also disgusted with companies, like Netflix, who's been just released a movie called Cuties, glorifying sexual relations with 11-year-old girls and children. It's reprehensible.
Well, I'm hoping that will destroy the share value of Netflix. It's why when President Trump takes his second term of office, if I was in the Oval Office with the president and I had 30 seconds to speak, let's say, I would say to the president that his next target will be the media.
Interesting. Okay, that's interesting, Simon. That's interesting. Well, they're very proud of your work for raising this issue. And I think it's gone on for too long. It's underground. It's all hidden. I mean, even the abuse cases in the States here, statistically, one in three girls are sexually abused when they're a child, and one in five boys are sexually abused. That's a huge amount.
Well, Ted, it shows the fracture of the human consciousness, not right. The soul. Note, and the audience, please note, I'm not talking about a fracture of the soul.
Right.
The conscious mind, because humans have been manipulated since the time of Babylon. And the reason that I said we would target, or we should target, the media is because embedded within many, not all, many media organizations is the command and control system for what we hate most. So if you can take out those key elements
right.
from those media organizations, you then take out the lifeblood, because these places need money. Everything on this planet needs money. And if you stop the money coming in,
right.
then those organizations just fold. You've seen that with in Britain.
Right.
We don't have Antifa, but we have a similar group. And they were trying to do in Britain what they did to you guys. And what was very interesting was that they blockaded the newspapers for a day. And suddenly all of the people who fund this left-wing group stopped funding them, because it shows that the media are part of this overall group. And when this Extinction Rebellion group targeted the newspapers, the men and women who are doing it, I think, are probably well-intentioned.
Right.
They didn't realize that the people that they were blockading are actually part of the same people that were paying them to do all the trouble in the first place.
Right.
And that's the picture here. There are many organizations which do not appear to be connected, but actually are.
Interesting. Okay. Same old story. Yeah. Old story. Yeah. I have a question here from a listener, Simon, and it's a very interesting story. I'll make it brief though. She'd been driving with some friends down around north from Sacramento, and they looked on Google Map and they needed to get to Redding, to another town north, for a hotel for the night.
Okay.
And Google Maps directed them through Paradise, California, you know, the one that was destroyed by particle beam weapons 2 years ago. And they directed them to turn a right on a road called Cemetery Road, which was a dead end.
Okay.
And she's a psychic, and she turned off and she said, wait a minute. Her mom came in from the other side and said, get out of there. This is a very definite thing. So she got a really creepy feeling. Most of Paradise now is just a flatland. It's all destroyed. Yeah. The government of California said that only 62 people were died as a result of that. But there were over 50,000 people living in that area 2 years ago. So where did they all go? I think a lot more people died. But then she got back on the road, got to this hotel in Redding with her friends, and all the locals said, nobody ever travels that road. It's full of ghosts and very creepy, and the energy's terrible. And then she looked back on the map later for this road. It was called Cemetery Road. Didn't exist.
Right. Many people would think that was just hallucination or what have you, but I can tell you that that's a true story.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm getting similar stories, and it's because of the artificial intelligence, where a sat-nav is not standalone, where it is networked to a satellite, and that satellite is networked to a ground-based station, which is receiving information from just about everybody so that it can update your route. That is a machine that can become self-aware. Now, not the sat-nav sitting in your car. That can't become self-aware. But that somewhere there's a base somewhere, maybe thousands of miles away, but that's becoming self-aware. And I've had a number of people now say that they have, for some reason, have been sent into what they would call lonely, dangerous locations, which didn't seem to bear any resemblance to the route they were supposed to be taking.
Right.
And often, not always, but often when they've gone back, the road seemed to be there, but the name for the road had changed. So there was still the same road, but its name was different.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not surprised to hear that. And I would advise all people who are psychic that the moment that you feel your sat nav is doing something, switch it off. Switch it off. Get the old-fashioned map book and go back to that.
Yeah. Yeah. I was in Germany 2 years ago driving around, seeing relatives and attending some conferences in a rental car. And I plugged in Google Map to get to Frankfurt, and they sent me way out in the countryside, middle of nowhere. I finally stopped a couple of locals, and then my broken German asked him how to get back. And I was miles and miles away from my destination. So after that experience, I don't trust Google Maps at all. I'd rather just have a map in front of me. So
it didn't turn out badly, but it was quite a celebrated court case in this country, and the woman got off because she was able to argue that she was following her sat nav, but her sat nav, and she followed it, took her down the railroad track.
Oh my God.
So she was actually driving down a railroad track. Now you can imagine with the sleepers that. But she was arrested, but she'd not checked drunk or drugs.
Right.
She just made an error. But what I'm saying is, was this the beginning? Because this is a good few years ago, 7, 8 years ago, 9 years ago. Is this the beginning of sat navs becoming self-aware and doing these things, or was it just a chance? But the more I'm hearing now, the more I'm concerned that artificial intelligence is beginning to come alive over the whole planet. That's why on the 21st of December, when we get these very powerful energy blasts that are coming, I'm hoping they're going to knock out a lot of this AI.
Yeah, I think that would be great. I'm a fan of Twilight Zone, and there was an episode a long time ago where the computer becomes self-aware, and she, to give her a sex, she became interested in this scientist and said she was in love with him, because he kept looking for his sweetheart, and it was just this AI computer. They never did fall in love. I don't think they had any children. You could imagine what the children might look like, but anyway, but it was a fun kind of a fun episode. But the computer did become self-aware.
You see, that's for science fiction writers. It's been quite a great topic. Mm-hmm. But when you see people like Stanley Kubrick doing the 2001 with HAL becoming self-aware,
right?
Then you think, well, is that just another storyline, or is Stanley Kubrick actually becoming aware back in 68,
right?
But the military who he was working with very closely were also aware right back in those days. So I think I think Stanley Kubrick was a good person. I think good people have tried to warn us through films, through books, music, and I think that was a pivotal moment when 2001 came out, and saying this is man's enemy. It, right. It's not just that, it's AI, and that's right. Back in 68.
Right. I'm told that the even the Draconians at one time were benevolent, and they had been taken over by an AI-infected, their cousins who were white-winged. And so basically that's what we have today. We have AI self-aware of itself, and they're considered evil only because they're cut off from source, from the supreme being. And I can
go along with a lot of that. The only thing I would add is that they were probably more interested in service to self even the very beginning. That doesn't make someone evil, but I think they were already that way inclined. So when it occurred, it was quite easy to tip them over the edge.
I see.
But everything else, I totally agree with. So yes, they were originally space travelers, very interested in themselves, but they weren't overtly evil.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay, interesting. My galactic friends tell me also, Simon, that when this is all said and done and the Earth has ascended, that it'll be a model not only for humanity, but also for other human civilizations and other extraterrestrials outside of the planet Earth as a model for how different species can learn to live in harmony and create a better and happier life for everyone concerned. So that's why there's such intense interest now in Earth, and everyone's watching us right now as to what happens.
Well, we unfortunately don't have a meter that can register every non-human on the Earth. It's a shame we don't, because at the moment that we begin large-scale transition, all the non-humans have to get off the Earth. Because if you're a fifth dimension person here, you don't want to be going through this energy shift because you've already done it once before. So when there's a report of a lot of spacecraft around the Earth, but at a distance, and there's very little reports of it in our atmosphere, that I think is a sign that they are already monitoring that we are moving up. So I'm really expecting the beginning of next year and forward through next year, this transition period to start.
Interesting.
Because we've got to look for signs that show us what's happening. And I have said, and I think you agree with me, Ted, that it's not going to be the Earth going 0 to 60 in one go. We're going to have areas that begin to transfer because they're more spiritual. They're an area of beauty, or the energy ley lines converge. So we're going to find those places beginning to move. And then perhaps the heart of the city, the downtown area, is one of the last places to move up.
Right, right. Mount Shasta is now shifting into the higher dimensions. I was there 3 weeks ago now, and I was invited aboard a Pleiadian mothership by Admiral Halosaurus. And the ship itself is half organic and half metal. Right. It's an amazing place. And I had quite a good time visiting with him. And then I went into the Hollow Earth and visited with Adama and Telos as well. And I'll be going back again in about 2 weeks. So I think it'll be very powerful when I go back. So
yeah, I think that sounds really good, because technology in the fourth dimension is still metallic. It's semi-alive. But when you go into the fifth dimension, then the difference between fixed metallic values and consciousness is, from a third dimension, it cannot be explained, but basically we could call them alive. They're not alive in the sense that you and I are alive, mm-hmm. but they are alive. Whereas if you go into the fourth dimension, everything's controlled by a computer. And if you took the computer out, the system would crash. But when you get into the higher dimensions, it's more of a connection between source and the living creatures.
Right.
You do have to have, obviously, technology, but the higher up the dimensions you go, the more you rely on yourself and your creation, if you like, and less on hardware.
Sure. The crew on board the Pleiadian ship said that the crew controlled the ship through their thoughts. So God forbid, if you brought somebody from the planet and they were in a bad mood and were thinking bad thoughts, you could cause a lot of havoc on the ship. So, you know, they're very careful on who they let you know.
Yes, and they're also very careful into what part of the ship you're actually allowed to be on. Because if you are, if your mind is very up and down and you're very unstable, as most humans are, it's natural. It's what chemical and electrical impulses in the brain. That is absolutely a bad day for a control system that wants to be, you know, very balanced.
Right.
So, yeah,
right.
I totally agree with you, Ted.
Right. I asked him if the coffee was tasted better on the ship than down on the Earth, and they just laughed about that. I asked him down if they wanted to come down for dinner, and they said, no, we've got our own food on board. They like it better. So anyway, I guess there's a lot of impurities on Earth food here that they're.
Well, my understanding is, they don't eat animal products anyway.
Right.
The human elements of the fifth. So they wouldn't want to be able to eat that here. They'd be very, very hard pressed to find something that they could sustain them in the long term.
Right. Right.
That's why when they do visit, they have to have their own special plants or their own special facilities, because they cannot survive. You can't go to the local mall and buy the takeaway. They'd be dead within a week. Not because the takeaway food is poisonous. We have to say that. We don't want any lawsuits.
Right.
But because the beings have had millions of years of evolving away from takeaway meals,
right.
And you know, they exist in a very pure environment. And so, if you were to give them what we would consider like a Thanksgiving dinner with nice turkey, they'd faint.
Right, right. Or offer them a Happy Meal from McDonald's.
They wouldn't be so happy, would they? I don't think they're very happy. But that's what we're aiming for. We're aiming for the fifth dimension. We're aiming for enlightenment.
Right,
and that's what these guys got. They got enlightenment. See, this is what people sadly don't project backwards. A Palladian today in the fifth dimension was at one time like us in the third dimension.
Sure, right.
And they made it into the fourth, and they made it into the fifth. So they've worn the T-shirt. They've done the vacations. And so I'm amazed that they want to help us, because they must look back and think, we spent years getting away from what you guys have got. But it shows the love that they're still prepared to come down and say, look, right. We've done it once before, but we'll try and help you. And I think that's the key.
I'm told I still have family among the Pleiadians. It's been a long time since I've seen them, and they're waiting for me to see them again. So I know I'll see them someday. But I don't want to go too far down the rabbit hole, but in 25 words or less, what do you think is going to happen the rest of the year? And how do people cope with this change? Or what's the best thing people can do to make it?
Right. I think that it's really important that whichever spiritual group you're involved with, you connect, you stay strong, you do not believe the lies you've been told.
Right.
You just believe that you will come through this. You have to believe that you and your family will get through it. And it's going to be better out that end than it is this end. And that's what I ask everyone to do. Don't give up belief.
Right. All right. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's great. That's great, Simon. Well, I urge people to go to Simon's website at www.simonparks.org and click on the little donate button for his legal expenses. I know hiring lawyers is not cheap, but I think your cause is just and should be supported. I do see you winning, by the way.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's going to take some time. And I do see BBC issuing you a written apology.
Excellent.
And it'll help them get back to their old core values of truth that they've lost over the years through a lot through political pressure that you can't see. It's happened here in the States too, I think, with the media outlets.
Well, I mean, one of the things I've always believed is take evil money and make good money on it. And if the you know, the damage is if we're awarded money, then I'm going to put that towards a healing center.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
God bless, Ted. God bless to the audience.
Okay. Thank you.
Speak to you soon. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks so much for coming on, Simon. Really appreciate it. Have a good day, my friend. All right. Cheers. All right. Bye-bye. Bye. Bye. That was my good friend, Simon Parks, coming to us live from England today. He's always fascinating. I love what he has to say. And he has a unique perspective on what's going on in the world. His parents were part of MI5 and MI6 intelligence agencies in Britain. His mom also worked for the US NSA. So, but he's always, I really enjoy listening to him and always getting his viewpoint on things.
Kanata ni hikari.